0 grams trans fat, 0 calories, all good, all of the time. Indie Nation. Indie Nation listeners, I am at the Indie Gathering, the 15th annual such event.
Huge.
Big. Way over the top.
Independent Film Festival. And with me is...
I'm Rich Yarber from TwistedSwine.com Productions.
William Alexander of Traveling Light Productions.
Brian Lawler. I'm with Shackstar Studios.
Crazy D from Crazy D's Music Palace TV and Film.
Joanne Harris.
Joel Langer. I'm an actor.
Hi, I'm Noah Cooper. I'm a writer-director.
Chris Gay.
Bob Fadley.
Nan Slocum from Lansing, Michigan. Production manager.
Ed Messina.
Hi, I'm Georgie.
Danny Ryan, and I'm a film score composer.
Taylor Chmerky, writer, director, cinematographer, and editor.
William McGrath.
Hi, I'm Alan Clay. I come from New Zealand.
Hi, I'm Stuart Full James. I'm art director for Butterfly Crush, here from New Zealand.
The Blurry Dude.
Hi, my name is Mitchell Mack.
And I'm Brendan Potter.
Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies.
And the winners are...
In the feature horror comedy category, Ninja Zombies. First place.
After my own heart. Ninjas.
Thanks very much.
Feature film, Ninja Zombies.
Thanks, that was really unexpected. I just wanted to really thank my cast and crew, all unpaid volunteers, and they put them through hell, so thank you very much.
Indie Nation listeners, Lumpy is sitting here in the lobby of the Westlake Holiday Inn, where I'm attending the Indie Gathering, which is a huge indie film festival in its 15th year. And like I said, it's at the Westlake, Ohio Holiday Inn, and the whole Holiday Inn is booked for this event. They're running 3 screaming rooms, they have demo tables and all, and there's people literally from all over the world. So without further ado, I'm just going to let my guest introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Noah Cooper.
And what is Noah Cooper in relationship to the Indie Film Gathering?
I'm a writer-director, and I'm here screening my first feature film, Ninja Zombies.
So this is your first feature film. Is this the first Indie Gathering you've attended?
The first I've attended, although I was actually screened here last year with a short film called Underground Sonata.
Okay, and how long have you been doing indie film?
I would say since 2004. That's when I first started studying film.
And you're with a production company that you own, or are you just a writer-director that works with other production companies? How do you operate?
I worked with my own production company, which is called Deep Rock Productions. And, yeah, we work on indie films together, and that's pretty much it.
And one of the big things that Indie Nation is really big on is something we call attribution. You know, we play a lot of independent music under a Creative Commons license, which means we don't pay royalties, but in return, we're promoting the artist, and we always say, you can find so-and-so at such-and-such. So I tell people when I interview them, it scares half the people to death. Other people think it's kind of funny. My objective is to get as many of my listeners cyber-stalking you as possible. So where would they find you, your production company, your movie, anything you're involved in and want to plug on the Internet?
The best place to go is just ninjazombiesfilm.com, and that will link to all of our other stuff, and it has photos, bios, it has the synopsis for the film, trailers. We also have a Facebook page. If you just search for Ninja Zombies on Facebook, you'll find our page, and you can become a fan and keep updated with all of our screenings and our progress in general.
And one of my catchphrases at Indie Nation is the new media order. And by that, I mean the ease of production with, you know, the new digital media. I've been around music literally since the patch cord moves, monophonic with reel-to-reel tape decks. In the mid-90s, I had a recording studio in my apartment that cost me over $17,000 worth of equipment.
Wow.
And a lot's changed. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I always ask the independent artists and I always ask the independent filmmakers is there's certainly a cost to the new media order, and that would be piracy.
Sure.
However, there's also a plus, and that would be the ability to beat the shit out of your own obscurity. So the music industry and the recording industry, certain people in it have one view, certain people in it have another view. What is your take on the impact of the internet as a screenwriter, as a director, as a producer? What do you think of the whole internet thing?
Oh, I think it's amazing. I can't imagine working without it. It's opened up so many possibilities, you know, just communicating with, like, I have a composer that worked with us from New York, and we were in Connecticut, and we just communicated on Skype. And that's how, you know, she wrote her music and just sent it to me, sent me MP3s, and that's how I, you know, put it in the film. And I was able to send her the scenes that she needed to score for using Vimeo and YouTube. So that's really opened up a lot of possibilities. There's a danger of piracy. That hasn't really been an issue for us yet because we haven't released the film at all. But, you know, even if it was pirated, I'd feel pretty good about it, I think. Because, again, what you're saying, you know, that's more exposure. I mean, I almost feel like that's like a benchmark of, like, really making it. If somebody's taking the time to pirate your work, then somebody must be liking it.
I use the term obscurity because maybe you've heard of him, maybe you haven't, but there's a guy used to be a code monkey. He used to program Visual Basic. He was also an amateur musician. And when his wife was pregnant with their first kid, he decided it was time to quit his job, and he started doing something called Thing a Week. And his name is Jonathan Colton, and he currently earns about $500,000 a year as an independent artist. And in an interview with CNN, he says, Madonna can worry about piracy. I'm more worried about obscurity.
Yeah.
So if I'm understanding what you just said right, you're saying that the pluses are outweighing the minuses for you. And it seems like, especially in terms of being able to collaborate, do you feel that opens up a greater resource pool for you as a creative person and creative endeavors?
Oh, definitely. Even here at the Indie Gathering, I've been meeting a lot of actors. Just had a conversation a few minutes ago where an actor told me if I wanted to just give him a small part, he could always film it remotely and just send me the video files for me to work in. And I've actually, for Ninja Zombies, we did that with one of our actresses' mothers really wanted to be a zombie extra. And so they shot that in Oregon and just sent me the video. And so now she's in the film.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you that I always like to ask people who are in the business and have some experience and, you know, are successful with it. If somebody wanted to start out as a screenwriter, a director, a producer, what advice would you give them based on your experience, your learning in the school of hard knocks, so to speak?
Sure. I would say if you can take a class on screenwriting, that is extremely helpful because not only do you learn the proper format, but you also will have your classmates to read your work and give you honest feedback, and you can workshop your work, and you learn a lot that way. And, yeah, I guess that's my philosophy, is also just learning by doing. You just got to get out there and just keep working at it and get feedback, always. Get honest feedback as much as you can. For Ninja Zombies, we had several test screenings where people could fill out anonymous surveys and just be as brutally honest as, you know, as they wanted. And it was extremely helpful for those early rough cuts, and it really transformed the movie in a positive way. So that's...
Now, you said this was your first full-length feature film?
Full-length, yeah.
And with it being your first full-length feature film, mm-hmm. you've done other projects before, and what were they?
Well, so last year I won the award for Best Crime Drama Short here at the Indie Gathering. And that was for a film called Underground Sonata. And that went to a few other film festivals as well. Before that, I did a 10-minute short about a reporter doing an expose on corrupt police.
Now, it stands to reason And I know this from podcasting experience. The first thing I, when I teach somebody how to podcast, the first thing I teach them to do is an 18-second station ID. And then a 30-second. So obviously your short experience helped you grow into a full length. However, what was the biggest challenge and obstacle to go from shorts to a full length?
Time, I think, was the biggest obstacle, because just the sheer number of scenes that we had to do. And we made this film very guerrilla, indie, grassroots style, and everybody had day jobs, and everybody was just an unpaid volunteer working on this film. And so basically we were limited to, you know, late evenings during the week and weekends for our filming. And we were at one point going to lose our set, and our main actress was going to leave the country. And so we literally had to cram in as much filming as possible while we still could. So that was a huge challenge. And the other thing was managing the crew. The crew on this film, despite not being paid, was pretty big. And it was a new challenge for me to keep everybody on the same page and, you know, just keep them in good spirits and make sure that everybody understood what their role was and what their job was on set. So yeah, a lot of challenges, but definitely do a short film first before doing a feature length.
Do you find the short features more rewarding as a director, writer, producer? Or is it just the resources available to you at the moment and the size difference that makes you prefer that?
I would say the resources and everything. I actually, as a writer, I feel more comfortable writing a feature. You know, it gives you a lot more time to grow the characters and everything. And in that sense, doing a good short is very challenging because you have such a limited amount of time to get a story across and make the audience feel anything. But as far as learning the craft goes, it's just more reasonable to do short films and really get that down and start getting into festivals that way. And then you also build relationships with the people who run these festivals. And then when you come back with your feature, they'll remember you, and then you're in.
Okay, now I've gotten about 2.5 hours sleep from last night to get back here, thanks to the marvels of RTA. So it's very likely I'm forgetting something or maybe missing something. Is there anything you can think of you'd like to add to this interview?
Just the opportunity to say thanks. Thanks to the Indie Gathering, and you know, thanks to everybody who came out to watch the screening. It went really well. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback and starting to talk to distribution companies. So hopefully you'll be able to catch Ninja Zombies on Netflix or some other, Hulu or something like that.
So before we go, one more time, you just said Netflix, Hulu. Mm-hmm. Where else would they find you on the internet again? Again, for zombie cyber-stalking purposes.
Yeah. NinjaZombiesFilm.com, that's our official site. And also on Facebook, Ninja Zombies Film. If you search for that, you'll find us. And yeah, and hopefully when everything is said and done, we'll be available streaming online and DVDs and stuff like that.
No, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank
you for the interview.
I love this world.
Indie Nation listeners, you've been listening to a series of interviews from the 2011 Indie Gathering. You can find out more about the spectacular annual film festival at theindiegathering.com. Special thanks to Ray Such and Christina Michelle for putting together such a wonderful event. And if you're an actor, actress, producer, director, writer, or have anything remotely to do with film or theater, and you don't catch this event, well, I'll let Ray tell you what it's
about. Whether you're a producer, director, film scorer, actor, stunt people, writer, your life can change with just networking. If you're an actor and stunt person and you just go to auditions, you're going to be limited. It's like going to the lotto. You set your own world alive when you network.
Special thanks to Gavin Salkeld of SalkeldMusic.com for providing me with the background music for the intro and the outro. And again, you should check out this event, the Indie Gathering. You can find out more about the upcoming 2012, which will be the 16th annual, at theindiegathering.com. And if you don't decide to attend it and you're in film or theater, you're making a big mistake, and we're going to let the Russian fortune teller, portrayed by Carissa Gay, tell you what she sees for your future. Thank you for listening, downloading, and see you there next year.
I tell you, future. Nothing easier.
Lexi, come back here. I goofed. Yeah, well, how was he going to give the bigger ones to the next category?
Oh,
so.
Oh, do you want the other?
Give me that.
Hey!
Indie Nation listeners, Lumpy is still at the
Indie Nation listeners, whoa, what did I do here? Where'd my game go?
Yeah, it's always a plus if you talk into the microphone that you actually have on.
That's a wrap, folks. Thank you for all coming.
Indie Nation listeners, I'm sure you've often heard me refer to Michelle as my right-hand man. It's a little inside joke. Her and I have it going for years because, well, she ain't a man and she ain't got no right hand. However, she may be able to get a hand transplant, and we'd like you to help us give Michelle a hand. Could you go over to giveforward.com/givemichelleahand and help us out any way you can. Donate, put the widget on your site, send tweets out, whatever. Every little bit helps.